everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Shaking Mega Maniacs, it's Monday, November 9th. We just finished watching Raw, and it's time for us to gather for the Monday night tradition, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show here on MegaPowersRadio.com. This is your first time tuning in to the Raw post-show. We'll be inviting you guys to be joining the conversation all throughout the night. We got phone lines, chat rooms, Twitter, Facebook. Lots of places we're looking to take your feedback in. I'm going to tell you about how you could do that in just a moment. But first, let me tell you how you can support the Raw Post Show and Mega Powers Radio. The best way is, of course, to find us on Patreon. Search on Patreon for Mega Powers Radio. And for as little as $1 a month, you could help support Mega Powers Radio and keep bringing you all the cool shows like this one, The Dace Man Show, whatever else pops up on here that we're bringing your way. We've been doing some live pay-per-view shows lately, maybe an all-talk show pop-up, maybe we'll come up with something new, maybe we're just bored one night and just go live for no good goddamn reason. You never know what might happen. Certainly support us so we can keep bringing you all the cool content that we do. It's not easy to do for free. We do it ad-free, and if you like it, please, a little bit of spare coin will go a long way. Other ways you can help is by joining us live every single Monday here on Mega Powers Radio, or by subscribing to us on all the archive means. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on TuneIn Radio, we're on YouTube, and links to all these can easily be found on SmarkOutMoment.com with lots of other cool wrestling content there. While you're finding us on those places, please give us a rating and a review. It helps us climb the charts and seem like a really cool sports podcast that people might want to check out. Because we got a lot of competition out there. Everyone and their mother has a wrestling podcast these days. Hard to contend. Especially when, like, you know, Jim Ross. How can we contend with Jim Ross, guys?
How can we contend with Jim Ross's mom?
Well, I think first we need to fix the lighting. Then get a grip on things.
I mean, I'm fucking running. Yo, slow down with these suggestions.
All right, folks, we want to hear what you got to say about tonight's edition of Raw. Pretty interesting show. We started the tournament to crown the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, which is going to conclude at Survivor Series. And we had some other matches in here, too. Really not a lot of filler stuff. This actually was a pretty consistent episode of Raw. But we want to hear what y'all got to say. If you want to get your voice heard on the Raw post show, dial in with your phone. Pick it up and put in area code 760-512-7247. You could also join us via Skype by hitting the Skype icon at the top of our broadcast page. We also got the chat room open. Shout out to the folks who got here early. Kaylin Ferris, Mark Sawabi, and Silent Wind of Doom. We also are going to be opening up Twitter at Raw Post Show. Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Just search for that on there, where the conversation continues all week long. We want to hear what y'all got to say about this edition. But to start us off, let's check out what the hosts got to say. First off, my name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio and the host of the Raw Post Show. Joining me tonight, Mr. Tony Mango, the main man of SmarkOutMoment.com and the Smack Talk podcast.
How's it going, everybody?
And common guy here and on the Smack Talk podcast as well, Mr. Steven Wago.
With me, wham, wham, wazzle.
Fellas, I always like to start the conversation off by asking you what the number one thing you took away tonight was. Tony, why don't you start us off?
I hate to be so cliche about this, but I miss Seth Rollins.
Already?
Yeah. Already.
Tell me a lie. Say that you won't go.
Okay, I'm 10 foot tall and I'm not gonna go.
It was the song, Shawn Michaels song, you know.
Yeah, I do miss him, though. I mean, like, I got really tired of seeing Seth Rollins come out and cut a lot of the same promos and stuff, but at the very least, having him out there felt like there wasn't a big hole missing, and I could feel it already. Like, there's going to need to be a big shakeup for me to not pay attention to that every week.
I think they're on their way. You're not going to cure it overnight, but it certainly looks like they're taking steps, I got to say.
Just hope they don't make the wrong one.
We'll still see. Wago, what do you got to take away from tonight?
Tony's right. This show felt very rushed together, and whilst it had an awesome ending, which was a total throwback to the 90s.
90s?
What? But, yeah, like, you could feel like the show was just thrown together to fill in holes with storyline that they just didn't have. So, Seth was a big part of that show, and I don't think he realized it until he's gone.
Well, we want to know if everyone out there misses Seth Rollins as much as the panelists do here. It is certainly a big deal to have our WWE World Heavyweight Champion go down, especially when they've had this guy going since WrestleMania. This is a pretty lengthy reign, which they don't do very much. I almost question if he was going to be holding it all the way until the next WrestleMania.
I think he was dropping it.
I think he dropped it. I think he ended up vacating it right before he was about to drop it. I think Reigns would have took it at Survivor Series.
Yep.
Well, let's check on the chat room here. They're talking about cheese. Apparently Silent Wind of Doom went to go make cheese. He didn't get cheese. He went to make cheese. You were able to make cheese in that time, dude?
Like, he's actually, like, churning stuff? And
yeah. Well, he does.
Some cow out back.
I think he lives up at Montgomery. I'm pretty sure it's all like farms out there.
You know what he did? He just took regular cheese, poked a couple holes, and was like, look, I made Swiss cheese.
Wait, Mexican frying cheese? Is that literally where you just fried some cheese? You're just eating the fried cheese?
But like Mexican jumping beans?
That is some of the grossest things I've ever heard. You know, last week, chat room's talking about welcome back, Cotter. Now they're talking about fried cheese. Two conversations going at once, folks. So we try to stick to wrestling in here. The chat room goes wherever they do. So let's talk about some of the things that went down here. The big story we had throughout this night is that we were starting off our 16-man tournament to crown a new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Before we even got to that, though, Triple H starts off the show introducing the fact that Seth Rollins has been hurt. He had to vacate the title. And we're in a big era of uncertainty right now. But he tries to fill that certainty a little bit by inviting out Roman Reigns and makes him this big offer to be Triple H's guy, basically guaranteeing him a fast track to getting that title around his waist as long as he shook Triple H's hand and agreed to be the company man. Roman turned it down, too much of a good guy. And Triple H says, thanks for reminding me why I didn't pick you in the first place. Says his match is next. This opening segment, though, I think I'm downplaying a little bit, but Triple H was on fire here. I don't think I could overstate that enough. As much hate as sometimes these authority opening segments get, Triple H was light years above anyone else throughout the rest of the show, I'd have to say. Fellas, what are you thinking?
Well, yeah, Triple H, other than stumbling on a few words, it was definitely on point tonight and probably one of the highlights as far as non-wrestling segments goes. I'm okay with the authority segments when they legitimately set something up, but most commonly we get 20-minute segments that don't even pay any relevance to the main event. So tonight's teasing that whole is Roman going to turn thing, because as soon as Seth Rollins got injured, the internet went on fire with potential scenarios, and I've heard a few people bring up Roman Reigns turning heel as one, so teasing that's a good idea, regardless of if you're going to do it or not.
Well, Tony, Roman Reigns straight denied any involvement wanting to get with Triple H here. What if they had just surprised us and just had him take the bait right then and there?
I think I would have been more into it. Not that I hated this or anything like that, because I didn't, but I do think that there's sort of like a 50-50 about this. Like, the authority segments can be really, really boring. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, like Wego said, they don't really have that much of like a purpose. It's kind of just, well, let's waste 20 minutes and then tell you what the match was that we announced, or if we didn't have one planned, now we're going to announce it, that kind of a thing. This is a situation where you need to have one. I mean, we have no champion. You got to come out and address it. But I think that what would have been better off is one of two ways. Either, number one, they didn't have anything with Roman Reigns whatsoever, because pointing him out makes him already the favorite. And yeah, I guess you can kind of say like that that's okay because he was the number one contender, but it's still just a little bit weird to me. Or I think the alternative is you have him just turn. And it could have been disastrous if they would have done that, because I don't know what their plans are going forward, but I wouldn't have expected that at all. So that would have been interesting. And I think now they kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit, because they're already making it look like Roman Reigns is a guarantee to be in the finals. So I don't need to watch any of his matches until the finals. And the fact that they are putting so much emphasis on that means I already think he's not going to win the finals too.
I have to say, when I first saw the brackets, I did have to look at some of the names and think, really?
Huh? Yeah.
Like, no offense, but really? Like, Titus O'Neil?
Kalisto against Ryback?
Even Tyler Breeze?
You know, make his debut with us? They might as well just stuck a fucking label on them saying, the losers.
Mm-hmm. And you know what
fucking
else?
Fucking shitheaded losers?
Another one that stood out to me, Stardust versus Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, dude, he's going to get creamed, right?
And it's like, why couldn't you have had Stardust against Ryback? And then, like, Kalisto against Del Rio. Typical heel and face thing, you know what I mean?
And a lot of these match lineups were fucking terrible. Roman Reigns and Big Show? And what is the other one? There's one we're having on SmackDown I know we've seen a bunch of times this year, too.
I can't even remember off the top of my head. Something that didn't really matter, you're right.
Well, I mean, shit.
Oh, Neville and Barrett.
How many times have we seen fucking Ziggler versus The Miz?
Mm-hmm. It would have been kind of cool to see some of these different things. Like, I'm a little bit interested in why they're going to do Kalisto versus Ryback, because it's like, what? Like, but at the same time, I think it would have been even cooler if they would have had, like, because we all know, like, the semifinals and the finals, those are the ones that matter. Everything before that, you can play around with a lot of different stuff or whatever. Wouldn't it have been kind of cool if they would have had, like, instead of Kalisto versus Ryback and, say, Roman and Big Show, if they would have had, like, Kalisto and Big Show?
Oh, hell yeah.
And then it would, like, maybe Big Show loses, and you're like, holy fuck, Kalisto just beat Big Show, and he's in the second round of this tournament? He might get a big push, and then, you know, he loses the next round or something, but that would have been kind of cool, I think.
And Kalisto's a guy who has not gotten enough singles focus. And they're finally starting to do something with Lucha Dragons, and that's cool. But Kalisto is just amazing. And I'm actually pulling for him. I hope he can make it a little bit of a distance in this tournament. I was going to pull for Tyler Breeze, too, but unfortunately he had that Dean Ambrose early on. Can't say I was rooting for him too much to go past that. Mm-hmm. Well, our first match that we had was Roman Reigns and Big Show, a match we've seen dozens of times this year. Really nothing to note here. It's basically lol, Reigns wins.
I'd be a little upset if I was the British audience, because I think the last time they were there, didn't they have Roman Reigns and the Big Show feuding? I think Roman Reigns even got put for a taxi, or vice versa.
Oh yeah, didn't they have a last man standing match?
Something happened, definitely, or it was to the build of that. But regardless, this is the same fucking feud that they had last time they were there.
Oh, that's so whack. They weren't that mean to Roman, though, I have to say.
Yeah, people are finally coming around and getting past that stupid fucking him not being Daniel Bryan stigma.
Or maybe just their hate for Big Show outweighed their hate for Roman Reigns.
That's true.
Or maybe they edited it.
Tony, the right guy advance here?
Yeah. I mean, Big Show, he wasn't going to win anything. And how pissed off would people have been, too, if Big Show would have been the new champion? Like, you can't do it. I like Big Show. I think that he gets a lot of shit for no reason, but Roman Reigns needed to win that.
You don't think Big Show could do, like, one more big heel run, especially with all the crowd chanting, please retire, or whatever they're saying, And, you know, his comeback is, well, find someone to retire me. And he could just do, like, a big monster one final run waiting for someone to come and retire him.
If he's going to do that, they need to start building him and building him a lot more legitimately. He can't be coming out in the opening match of Raw and jobbing to Roman Reigns. Like, he needs
well,
to
no,
beat
of
someone,
course not. That's what I'm saying.
He needs to beat someone down and someone down hard. And I mean, like, I'm talking Rey Mysterio attached to a stretcher and getting whacked off the turnbuckle beat down. Just have him go fucking psycho.
He could have flipped that black car and maybe gotten rid of it once and for all.
Oh, then he would have gotten cheered.
That's true.
Yeah, I think Big Show's at that level right now where he's clearly, like, he's got a lot of value to him still left, but not a title change. Nothing coming his way that way. Like, he could have a really important semi-main event kind of match, but it has to be non-title.
Show's great for that role when you need a celebrity to wrestle a match at Mania. Other than that, he doesn't have too much left to offer. He can still go in the ring. And for a big man, I think he's one of the best, but they've overexposed him over the years, and because of that, he's very devalued.
Well, it looks like the chat room has finally gotten away from cheese. And Silent One to Doom says, honestly, Big Show can be a likable character. I'd rather he be a stooge, though, like a real enforcer or someone in an office position. Corporate Show?
Man, you see, I'm in the minority. I like happy Big Show.
You're the what?
I'm in the minority of, like, just having Big Show be, smiley, happy, and knock people out. I love that version of Big Show.
So you want him to be a babyface?
I'm fine with him being a babyface. You just give him the nostalgia pop at this point. Just have him come out, smile, wave to the audience, kick the shit out of some jobber, and leave. Like, honestly, you got to get some enjoyment out of watching him chop the shit out of, like, some skinny jobber.
Honestly, he should be like that attraction. He should be kind of like how Teddy Long treated The Undertaker. Where it's like,
if you went on one against the Big Show.
Yeah, if you done goofed, then it's like, well, I'm calling out the Big Show on you. Oh, shit, here comes the Big Show.
That'd actually be a good role. Make him like a SmackDown exclusive. Do something with him. Just
that wasn't exactly what I meant, but sure.
No, like, you heard Daniel Bryan talking about how he'd like to be on SmackDown rather than Raw, just so he gets more attention. That's an ideal spot for the Big Show.
Yeah, but then nobody gives him any attention because nobody watches.
Oh, well, that solves that problem for reviewing Raw each week, doesn't it?
Well, what do you think about him going into a non-wrestling role? He has done commentary before, and he's honestly not too bad. He's acted before, and I didn't think that was a movie, Knucklehead, was all that bad either.
I like it when my staff members are like announcers or commentators can always get their ass kicked by the guy in the ring. Show will never be able to fulfill that role.
Some guy comes up, yeah, Big Show, you want to fight? And he's like, all right. And they're like, never mind. Can you please sit behind your desk, sir?
Oh, okay. Silent One of Doom is really pushing this cheese topic. So let's just get this out of the way. What's your favorite cheese, guys?
Mozzarella.
I'm not a big fan of cheese.
What?
I like pepper. Right. If I had to pick one, Pepper Jack.
You would like
Pepper Jack's good.
I do like Pepper Jack.
I'm a big fan of mozzarella. I also like provolone.
Provolone's number two for me.
Mm-hmm. White American, not yellow. Yellow American's gross.
White American privilege.
You know, else is kind of good. Monterey Jack.
Oh, Monterey Jack is good.
Monterey.
Moderate.
All right, there's the old cheese show.
There's a cheese.
All right, well, let's open up the phone lines here. We got a caller coming in from Anonymous. Can only imagine. We're opening up the call to Anonymous here. Who's there?
So, let me get this straight. So Bray Wyatt kidnaps Taker. MJ claims he takes their powers. Week later, you know, he uses those powers, you know?
Uh-huh.
A week later, he claims to burn them to ashes. Commits murder. Not even fucking 5 minutes later. No, not fuck the dog. The same video you, Bray Wyatt, showed. You get scared from the same little powers you showed. you tremble in fear.
Yeah, but he didn't set them off that time.
What's wrong with the writers, dog? What the fuck? Then Kane and Undertaker by themselves, fucking destroy the Wyatt family. What the fuck?
Single-handedly, what yes, the they fuck did.
Is wrong?
I don't know. I liked it.
All along, I watched. I mean, 3 hours, and that's all I seen. Except for the opening promo. Roman Reigns is a fucking dummy. He was a fucking dummy. He could have tricked Triple H. He could have tricked him. He could have got the title, punched him right in the fucking face, said, gotcha. You know? But he had to earn his way through that Samoan pride to get to the top. He had to earn his way. He got to go through the tournament. What's the big show? I had to fall asleep in the beginning of Raw. What the fuck?
Indeed.
How is Alex? How's that going tonight?
Boy. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm guessing you didn't like Raw too much.
I didn't watch it. I mean, it was on. New Day caught my attention. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Then Neville came out, and I went back to sleep.
Honky.
Fucking what? What else happened tonight? Come on, guys. What else happened?
Oh, I mean, that's what we do on the show. Can't run it all down now. We had a tournament. We saw a bunch of people advance in a tournament.
Fuck the tournament. It shouldn't even be no tournament. It should just be Reigns versus so-and-so. Why didn't he just award him the title?
What do you say, so-and-so? We have to determine who so-and-so is.
He's my favorite.
Not as good as Vacant.
Yeah, Vacant is fucked.
Why didn't he
just award him the title? Didn't like Triple H win a title like this one time?
Yeah, but that's because he's Triple H.
Like, why didn't he just award? He was number one contender. Champions hurt. Give the number one contender the title. Fuck a match. You can still have a match. Or they could have just focused on the Survivor Series. You know, Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family. You know, that strong.
Okay.
Strong of a family.
I see what you're saying, but what's your hate about the tournament? What's wrong with having a whittling down to find who the best competitor is?
It's not going to be like the Deadly Games. It's not going to be even good like the Deadly Games.
Yeah, are you saying we shouldn't have March Madness? We should just, like, award the championship to the team with the best record?
Is it March? Is it fucking March?
Well, you got me there.
There should be no basketball references now. There should be none. What's March Madness? This is stupid. This is stupid. All of this is stupid.
Okay.
Time, Kyle, you're racist.
He has been accused of this before, but let's not get any crazy allegations here. Well, if you had to pick one person to win this tournament, who's it going to be?
Oh, of course, Kevin Owens. Of course. We know that's not going to happen.
He's
going to
be the first person ever to hold both the Intercontinental and the WWE World Heavyweight title. It's true if you Google it.
Yeah, Google it. That's sort of awesome. He is awesome. He should just be the whole 3 hours.
That'd be a little overkill. But he is very enjoyable. If you could do like a solid half hour of him, solid half hour of New Day, and then half hour of Paige's boobs, and the rest doesn't really matter.
Oh, yeah. Is that a boob job? The boobs look out there.
No, I think she just ripped her shirt.
Oh, she got a boob job. Hogan just ripped the black off.
Yeah. Yes.
What fucking happened? I didn't watch 3 hours of Raw. I watched 15 minutes of Raw.
Well, we're going to go about the rest of the show. So, unless you have
It was on. It was on.
Yeah, I hear you. It was on.
It didn't hold my attention.
It was on.
What's going on?
All right, Alex, you have a good night, man. Always good to hear from you.
You're rushing me off to talk.
You're rushing me off.
Yeah, I didn't know Drew was here. So he said Kevin Owens should win this. Kevin Owens having his first round match against Titus O'Neil, picking up the victory with the pop-up powerbomb. I have to say the most notable thing out of this, though, is on his way out to the ring, Kevin Owens comes out and insults the Queen of England.
About time. Someone needed to do it.
He insults the entire royal family.
I was doing it before it was cool.
Well, that's just so, like, that's so savage. To go into England and boo the Queen. And, like, as much as the crowd liked Kevin Owens, as soon as he started doing that, he got such nuclear heat.
You know what's funny, though? The thing that really pissed him off was, oh, yeah, you're, like, you're the smartest fans in the world. Well, I'm afraid you're not. He just did very well. He plays to that old school heel that was back in the 80s, and I don't know why more people just don't do it. It's basic shit that he's doing and getting really far with it.
Tony, do you think Titus O'Neil could have had a shot here?
Even more than Kalista, Titus O'Neil stuck out to me. It's just like, really? Like,
I was like, well, where's Darren Young then? Like, what makes Titus O'Neil any more qualified?
And we had three people that I think could have fit in this, and they're singles people that would have made more sense. We had Mark Henry, R-Truth, and Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, Titus O'Neil. All right, well, fine. Well, he's going to lose anyway. So,
you know, and you could have done that Swagger and Del Rio match, and at least it could have had some kind of purpose getting that out of the way, too.
Yeah, where Del Rio could have, like, screwed Swagger out of one of the matches, or vice versa, you know?
Or he could have not wrestled.
Either way.
Yeah, ever.
But glad to see Owens win this. I have no faith whatsoever that he's going to win the tournament, but he's awesome. And I loved his opening promo. You know, that guy's he's just great. He's like the best asset that they've brought in for the longest time.
He's up there. It's unfortunate you can't make too big of a star with him, but he is someone I think who could have potential to make the next corporate guy.
I tell you what, if they did have him win both titles, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, he's a prize fighter. He should be the kind of guy who has a bunch of titles around his waist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big waist to fill.
I got to agree that he's one of those guys that you can't make too big of a star with, but I think he already did that himself. He's easily one of those guys that would end up winning the world title via Money in the Bank.
Just keep the fat jokes going, guys. You know, criticism comes with the territory. You know, if you don't want to be criticized, say nothing, do nothing. Be nothing.
Such a good quote.
Fuck yeah. Triple H is the goddamn man. He followed something up after he said that, too, and I didn't even hear what it was because I was just so fucking amazed what he said with that line.
Pretty sure it was, yeah,
I'm going to just drop the mic. I'm not even sure. Yeah. Silent Wind of Doom saying Kevin Owens is a well-rounded wrestler. There we go.
Really a big name? Something about cheese.
Oh, God. I bet Kevin Owens loves fried cheese.
Well, they go well with laced CZW cookies.
I mean, chocolate chip, right?
That's easily, like, the best fat moment ever.
Well, I mean, they are chocolate chip cookies.
I mean, they could kill me, but only a little.
Like, if they were oatmeal, then I would pass by. But they're chocolate chip. Like, fuck. Come on.
That is that table for three with Kevin Owens and Ambrose and Cesaro, I believe. Table for three is fantastic if you haven't been keeping up with that on the WWE Network.
Easily one of their best exclusives.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent one sucks, though.
Which one was that one?
It's Charlotte, Tamina, and Natalya.
The fuck?
And it's Natalya the entire time going, I really respect you guys, and I keep I want to talk. And what do you think about this? Because I think this is what you should say. And then basically Tamina's like, yup. And then Natalya starts talking again.
It sounds awkward as hell.
It's annoying. Like, they're what, like a half an hour long, I think? And it felt like it was like 2 hours.
Ugh.
It's like, holy shit.
Usually they go by too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just as I'm starting to, like, really, really get into it, it's over. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, like, when they start talking about the Ryback stories, then he starts getting like, guys, come on, don't mention this.
And then the little bug pops up. It's like, oh. That one especially I wanted to hear more of.
Yeah.
No, we're getting sidetracked.
We're going to do some part twos of those.
We had a Divas match tonight. Becky Lynch looking to get her revenge against Paige. Not a bad Divas match here. Unfortunately, couldn't really get into it because the fucking announcer spent this whole entire match talking about Triple H making his offer to Roman Reigns.
Well, you know, the wrestling rule, you got to show somebody what happened last week, and then you got to have something, talk about it, and then you got to do something, and then you got to talk about what they did, and then you got to show footage of what they did when they were talking about it.
Yeah, even with the announcers, this match was pretty meh.
Really? I thought these girls had a pretty damn good match. There wasn't anything
loose there? They had a good match by Diva standards, but it wasn't that entertaining.
I'm happy that Becky won.
Becky did get the win with a handful of tights after Paige tried to make an attempt of it herself. Then Paige goes for the cheap attack after the match, throws her onto the announce table, does a PTO on it, while Charlotte runs out for the save, sending Paige away.
I liked what they did afterwards. It made a change than just random bickering.
How bad was that very beginning, though, where they just were locked up for like 2 minutes?
That didn't really bother me too much.
I thought that was awkward.
It seemed like there was a lot of rage there, and they just like grabbed right onto each other and were like throwing each other around.
I didn't see Alex Riley. What? Tony. Rage. Tony got it.
Do you want silent rage?
Silent Rage of Doom?
Terrible wrestler.
Was that his name, Silent Rage, the Tough Enough guy?
Yeah, Silent Rage.
Wasn't it Silent something else, though? Silent, like... Maybe it was Silent Rage. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, Andy, I think his name was. Yeah, he was Silent Rage.
I'm Andy.
I'm Silent Rage. Silent Rage. I could not fucking believe when he won.
Yeah, that Luke guy should have won.
At the very least. I love Marty guy, but he got hurt.
I love that they keep tricking people into watching Tough Enough and then people get disappointed with it.
I did not watch a single episode this season.
Good job.
Very proud of myself. And yet they signed like 8 people from this season. The only person we have from that season now is Cameron.
Did they sign that like fat blonde dude?
Yeah. Oh, he's on Breaking Ground.
Oh, Jesus.
What? And on Breaking Ground, it's basically them going, ZZ, you still suck, dude. He's like... Yeah, I know, man. You know, bobcats, they like to hang out in the wild, and if you throw a baseball at them, you know, it turns into a genie.
What?
That's the way that he fucking talks.
Is the entire show about them just ripping on him? Because I actually might watch that.
No, not the entire show. The whole last episode basically was. But...
So raw, huh?
Yeah. We had another first round matchup. Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz. Ziggler gets the win with a super kick. I don't have anything else to say about this one.
Congrats to The Miz for passing Kalisto in the up, up, down, down tournament for Madden.
I'm not sure if I've seen this match this year, but I've seen it plenty enough in the past that I didn't care. Go fuck themselves.
Yeah, I like both these guys.
I like both of them. No, I don't want to hate on this. This was one of those matches that they didn't do anything to make it feel important to the tournament.
Here's the issue. It's like, no matter how many times you put Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz on, or Sheamus versus Randy Orton on, or anything like that that's been played out for the last 5 years, people are just...
Whoa. The fuck?
Is NWA taking over?
Holy fuck. The fuck just happened to Waco?
I'm really expecting Hogan, Razor, and fucking Nash to come out. Or the Wyatt family.
Let's see if we bring him back on if that happens again. Wayo? Ah! Wayo, stop! Oh, that's not good.
All right, two-man show.
Yeah, Wayo, please restart. Sorry about that, folks. Little technical difficulties on Wago's end there. He hopefully will be back with us shortly.
Now, do we know that that's actually static, or did he just get done saying a sentence?
Well, while he's gone, we could talk about what I'm sure was one of your favorite segments, Tony. Zeb Coulter and Alberto Del Rio coming out on stage. They're burning up England. For the rest of the world not liking them anymore. Even Scotland doesn't like them. Ooh, burn.
Ooh, I'm in Scotland.
I'm back here. Am I still static?
You sound so much better.
I don't know. I have no idea what went on there. Like, I didn't knock kind of thing. My internet was working fine.
You were just like, what they need to do is...
I have no idea what I was talking about, so I can't even like finish what I've said.
And we moved on.
I heard the Matrix or something. I don't know what happened.
All I heard was, what, is the fucking NWO here? And the mic call just dropped.
I had to hang up on you. That shit was heinous. Anyway, we're talking about Zeb and Del Rio now.
Oh, God, when did I come back?
I just don't get it. I really don't get it. I wanted to give it a chance at first. I just don't get this Mex America thing.
I'm convinced you're not supposed to.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not even sure if he's meant to be a heel or not.
I'm right now 100% convinced that they don't know what they're doing.
It's like, just putting my hands on the typewriter. I don't know what's happening, though.
Yeah, I really do think, like, I don't think this is leading fuck all anywhere.
Like, I want someone to explain what Zeb Coulter has done to further Del Rio's character in any respect. They have not given any logical reason for them coming back together, making amends. He is not helping Del Rio because they're both cutting promos together. It's not like he's talking for him. This union makes no fucking sense.
The only reason I can see this being a thing is because they had so much tension before, and because of how Alberto Del Rio separated with WWE, they're trying to like almost make a parody of it. And it's like, oh no, see, we're cool. We're on the level. We can have people of multiple races get together and not have a problem.
Part of me thinking what they think that they can do with this, which if they can pull it off and that is their goal, then, you know, power to them. But I don't think that they will. I think maybe it's a little bit like of like a sort of, I wouldn't say racist, but like just not like a timely perspective on things. I think that they think they need some kind of a Hispanic star, and that people aren't going to embrace Del Rio because they didn't the last time. So if they make it Mex America and they make them heels, that they can make them baby faces later, and then it'll make it to where it's like both ends of the spectrum.
Oh my
God. I think that's what they think that they can do. And I don't know a damn person who's really interested in this. And I'll tell you what, I even would be more into it, despite it being Del Rio, if he would change the goddamn United States Championship. If he would have came in and just made it the Mexican Championship, I would have been more interested.
Or if it was the Mex-American Championship, though.
You're not, yeah. But, man, one of the worst parts about this was Zeb Coulter on the mic. And this wasn't even Del Rio's fault. Zeb Coulter was a fucking bore tonight. He rambled, and he was just like, because I think that in this country, this is what's happening, and in England, it's whatever. And it was like listening to some old man ramble at a goddamn party, like a family gathering or something. Like, let me tell you what's wrong with kids these days. You know, I was listening to that YouTubes the other day, and they had these problems, and then this thing. And back in my day, we had. I was just like, fuck, I don't care. Can you just like lose your match by now? Like, God.
I think one of the biggest issues with Del Rio's character in general and why he sinks every time is they actually need to get him away from this whole being Hispanic as his gimmick. That doesn't need to be his character. He can be a dick. That can be his character. He's very good at doing it.
Mm.
He doesn't need to talk about Mexico every fucking time. It got old. It got old fast last time. It's getting old now. Just let him go in there. He's a capable wrestler. Let him do what he does. Talk about his heritage at the most and who's in his family, but don't make it all about fucking Mexico.
And the best parts of Del Rio since he came back has been his in-ring stuff.
Mm-hmm. He's been adding new stuff to his repertoire. He's exciting again.
But did he wrestle tonight?
He didn't wrestle anybody tonight. They just did this promo.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I really didn't pay any. I thought he wrestled a match.
No,
he didn't wrestle Stardust yet.
He has that tournament match on SmackDown.
Wait,
which means I won't be seeing it.
He came out, cut the Zeb Coulter promo, and then left?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
They just came out on the stage, did the promo, and left.
Yeah, it was really odd. It's like the match, like what matches they had tonight were just weird. Like they left the left corner of the bracket undone.
I thought I got to the point now where I tune them out so much that I'm like blacking out or something. Wow. Huh.
No,
Fuck but those guys.
The next segment probably wasn't too much more enjoyable for you. It was Naomi versus Natalya. They've been building this thing where Natalya has been calling out Team Bad for some reason. I thought she had a problem with Paige or the Bellas.
I fucking left the room for this.
Oh, you missed some awesome, terrible shit.
Like, I fucking like watched about 2 minutes of this shit, if that, and I was like, nope.
This was a mess. At the very least, the crowd was having fun during this match because of just how horrendous everything was. Natty gets the victory here after a quick roll-up after sending Naomi colliding with Tamina. At some point, Team Bad is attacking Natalya. Natalya tries to put a sharpshooter on Sasha that just looks fucking terrible. At some point during this match, Tamina goes to do this, like, rear view. And I think it was on purpose that Natalya didn't go into it, but it just looked ridiculous with Tamina jumping in the air.
Well, no wonder you thought, like, the Divas match earlier was so great. Compared to this, it sounded like a fucking 5-star match.
Oh, it was. I mean, Mike's not even making that rear view sound as bad as it looked. Like, that looked really fucking awful. Like,
no, but guys, give Divas a chance, guys. Divas a chance, come on.
And the roll-up was bad, too. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, it was just kind of like, well, can we, like, go to pin now? Okay, I'm just going to lay down.
Where the fuck did Natalya come from to where she's, like, relevant again?
I think they literally had Paige come out and go, hey, Natalya's not relevant. And then she showed up 1 week, went, I am.
And what the fuck is going on with her outfit?
It's like the offshoot of that dominatrixy kind of thing that she was doing, but I guess she stopped, like, having guts. That is just a train wreck, and both of them are so much better than this. It's really a shame.
Well, you know who is a lot better than this?
Sasha Banks.
Sasha fucking Banks.
What's she doing tonight?
She was just there.
Ah. There, doing nothing, and still being
banged. And actually, she looked like a fucking jabroni tonight. Because she went in, she attacked Natalya after the match, got the cheap shot on her, so she should have been able just to attack her and take her down. But she goes to do the bank statement, and Natalya, like, holds onto the ropes and then, you know, outsmarts her and then goes to put on the fucking sharpshooter, which was that terrible-looking sharpshooter.
I'm hoping that they give her a shot soon and promote her to NXT.
Yeah, she would have some amazing matches with Asuka.
And she might be able to do something with whatever Nia Jax is.
I'm like a Nia Jax.
I'm a monster.
Do you remember?
It's not her lyrics at all.
Isn't that what it is?
No, I'm not like most girls.
No, you're fucking kidding, right?
I'm dead serious, dude.
I legitimately don't believe you. I need to look.
Dude, the freaking announcers say it all the time. Like, she says she's not like most girls.
Oh fuck, it does say I'm not like most girls. I've been thinking that it says I'm a monster. I'm a monster.
Well,
I'm bigger than all the men here.
You're doing the outro this week.
Yeah, I guess that's definitely a given.
That's the second time I made fun of her tonight.
This match was a monster. What wasn't a monster, though, was surprisingly another first-round matchup that we had. Cesaro versus Sheamus. They had pretty damn good length on this. The crowd was loving it, of course, because they're going to be super into Cesaro. They were giving support to Sheamus, too. Let's not forget that Ireland's not too far from there, and he wrestled a lot through England back in his day, so he's probably got a lot of hometownish love there. The match was good, except for the fact that they were doing this play on the outside with some soccer player jabroni who was there.
Oh, fuck yeah,
big football soccer tin or something.
Maybe if Sean was here, he can give us some Premier Pals. Yeah, Mickey Rooney or something.
Wayne Rooney. So he played for Manchester. He banged an old granny hooker, and everyone thinks he's a fucking joke now.
That's what I say. The crowd was like booing him when they first introduced him.
Well, once upon a time, he was like, he contributed to the world. Now he's just somebody that needs to be put out of his misery.
So he's kind of like a Hulk Hogan for football.
Yeah, I'd say like below that.
Wow, really?
Yeah, what's below Hogan?
At this point, maybe Billy Graham.
Oh, the love sponge's wife.
Zing. So about this match, guys. Tony, did you actually pay attention to it?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
You I did see two. I saw two moves. I saw them the tumble over the ropes. Yeah, I saw them tumble over the ropes, and then I saw that awkward-ass pin.
I love that pin.
Oh, no, I hated that pin. It was so botched. Damn, John is coughing loud.
I thought that he was going for, like, a submission move at first.
He's done this roll-up, like, 6 times now, and it's looked that way every time.
Yeah, he needs to start doing it so it looks more like an inside cradle the way it was meant to.
It's not an inside cradle. It's a it unique roll-up.
A variation of it.
Well, he won.
Yeah, it's not like shit.
Well, it's fake. I would have enjoyed this match so much better if it would have been Cesaro versus Vacant for that title.
Cesaro, yeah, they say you could wrestle with a broom, but when you could wrestle with Vacant, that's when you know you're
can
amazing.
Can you wrestle with not a broom?
Any objections to Cesaro being the man to move on?
Over Sheamus? No.
Yeah. I mean, he is our Money in the Bank holder right now.
I kind of... part of me is a little bit nervous about this, though.
Oh, yes.
I think that this means that Sheamus might win the title.
Hayden made a statement in our little chat the other day, and I was so depressed because it was so true. He went, man, Sheamus is looking like such a jobber. He must be cashing in and winning the belt soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to go one of two ways. Either Ambrose turns heel or Sheamus wins the belt from Roman. Has to happen.
It does make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we can all agree that Roman isn't turning, though.
No. Now, Roman's either winning that belt and getting cashed in on immediately, or something's happening with Ambrose.
Would you be okay if he turned, like, if they threw a curveball? Because they're making it, like, too obvious for it to be him.
No,
I'd rather Roman turn than Ambrose, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I could see an Ambrose turn coming. And I think that Ambrose just hasn't been given a good, like, I don't want to say like that he hasn't been given a push because he's towards the top. But, like, they don't seem to be wanting to use him all that much. And if they look at him and they go, yeah, well, he's not really as high up there as Roman Reigns, well, that's your fucking fault. You know what I mean? Like, the past couple of months, what's he done? They didn't book him in any matches. So.
Yeah, but he's been there.
If he was going to create, like, the perfect main eventer, it's essentially Roman Reigns. And because of that, I'd want to keep him babyface. But at the same time, Dean Ambrose is just so much, like, easier to like.
The crowd really hasn't gotten that chance to fully be behind him, except for that feud he had with Seth Rollins for the title last year.
Yeah, and I mean, they were so into it then.
Or not for... Is that this year? No, it was last year and this year. That's right.
Yeah, I think they like went to blow it off with the Hell in a Cell last year, but they ended up doing that ladder match this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they realized, like, oh shit, we gotta actually like have people to fight Seth Rollins.
It makes a lot of sense to be Dean Ambrose because Triple H was talking about how he was scouting the Shield while they were fighting him as Evolution, and. He said Seth Rollins was the one he picked. If Roman turns him down, Seth Rollins ain't there. You know he had to have been scouting Dean Ambrose, too.
I also think what plays into this is, what is the long run for WrestleMania? Because if it's, let's say, Dean Ambrose versus Roman Reigns, for example, which is one option, I don't think you turn him this early. I think you play it out longer and you have Dean Ambrose win the Rumble, you have Reigns win the title.
We're a lot closer to WrestleMania than you think, man. These next few months are going to whiz by.
I turn him closer to the date because the more I think about it and the more rumored matches that come out, I think we're getting Ambrose versus Reigns at Mania.
I do too, but you know, you can have Roman, it's probably not a good idea to have him go away for a little while because you got enough other people down. But you can lighten him up a bit. He doesn't need to be the guy that's thrown in your face.
Well, there could be this other option. We could have Ambrose versus Sheamus at WrestleMania.
What?
Hear me out. No. I don't think it's going to happen, but we could have Roman win the title, drop it to Sheamus at some point, and then have Ambrose win and then do something like that. And then they really would try to like give Roman a huge, huge secondary kind of main event thing.
There's the issue with that. You can't have Roman win the Royal Rumble.
No. That's the other thing.
I don't even think you can keep him in the match. Like, I think he needs to stay away from that pay-per-view. like for a year or two.
A year or two?
Yeah, like...
I wouldn't go that far.
No, I would. Like, I guarantee you he's going to get booed out of the fucking building.
I mean, anybody who's not Daniel Bryan's going to get booed out of the building. It was just 2 years prior that he was freaking... People were cheering him to win.
I'm scared if they put him in that fucking arena in the Rumble. I think it's going to end really badly.
Well, it depends on what city he's into. I mean, Philadelphia is a brutal city.
Another one to do in the chat. You know Tony doesn't want Ambrose to turn heel when he suggests Sheamus in the main event of WrestleMania.
True that. True that.
Yeah, but at least I wouldn't have to watch that WrestleMania match.
We had one final first round matchup tonight. Dean Ambrose against the Raw in-ring debut of Tyler Breeze. Gorgeous.
Don't ever say that again.
Gorgeous.
PCB.
PCB. what I really liked about this match is that Breeze wasn't just out there looking like a jabroni. He wasn't even just doing this thing where he was an acrobatic. He showed a mean streak in this match. And that's what he needs to do. Otherwise, he's going to fall into that Fandango role real fast. If he can be this pretty boy and he can do all that as a character, but then when he gets in there, he's just vicious. And if he sees he has an opportunity to work on a hurt body part, which he did here with Ambrose's hurt shoulder, he needs to continue having stuff like that.
He does so many little things right, and I'm just hoping there's somewhere backstage looking at a monitor and going, oh, we can actually do something with this guy. Because... I think his gimmick's going to need tweaking in the long run.
But like he's got dropping Summer Rae.
Yeah, dropping Please. Summer Rae, toning some things back, bringing some new elements in. But just overall, he's got something there.
Yeah. No, he's got a good spot in the mid-card with all these fucking injuries.
Well, that's for sure. I was actually surprised to see him in the tournament, which was definitely a sign that they're probably going to be doing more of them than they may have before.
This dude picked the perfect time to come up onto the main roster.
Guys like Tyler need to like use this opportunity more than ever to establish themselves.
I really think that they actually do have good plans for a Tyler Breeze. Because I think they were holding him off in NXT for a long time for a specific reason. And they were having him do those jobs probably as like a test. Whenever they do that kind of thing, they're testing a guy. And I think they saw that he's a guy who's got everything to stick around and he's got all the chops. I think this could be a guy they have big plans for.
World title big plan?
Yeah. I actually thought he might have had a shot in this tournament until I saw he was facing Ambrose. I was like, oh, no, not a chance. He fell victim in this match to a small package, too. So it's not even like it was a huge decisive victory. It was like a sneak.
I really thought you were going to say right there, he fell victim to a small package. It's not even like it was a huge package.
I got an NXT question in regards to him.
He pulled
Samoa Joe off the apron during that Battle Royal. Did anything come of that?
They had a match the next week.
Oh, I didn't watch it. Was it any good?
It was okay. Samoa Joe got the victory, and I think that's the end of that. Because Joe is doing something else now, if you haven't watched NXT yet.
Oh, I know what he's doing. He's mainly being fat.
Yeah, he's always doing that. Him and James Storm. Probably like... going to CC's Pizza Buffet. Taking advantage of that deal they got. I've never been to a CC's. I've never been to a CC's.
I've always wanted to, but I heard it sucked.
I've heard it sucks too, but they don't have anywhere near New York.
Yeah, they had one like half an hour away from me, and I finally found out that existed, and then like 2 weeks later it closed down, and I'm like, shit.
So we're all in agreement. Tyler Breeze made a good first performance here, yeah?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Mozzarella all the way.
Dean Ambrose, though, right man to move on.
Definitely.
Yep.
Oh, it's just a shame that Tyler Breeze couldn't get to the second round.
They could have put him against someone like... Put him against Titus.
Put him against Neville.
Put him against Neville. A lot of other people could have. I don't know if he's quite in the Neville level. Actually, him and Neville had a super kick-ass number one contenders match at an NXT special once.
Yeah, I mean, they know each other well. That could have been awesome. Mm-hmm. And he could have had Barrett against Ambrose. Because Barrett's not going to make it. Come on.
And that feels like a pretty fresh match. Probably seen it before, but I can't think of it.
Mm-hmm. fucking Kalisto against Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, why not? All right, well, we had one final match. It was the New Day, always one of the highlights of the show, and tonight was no different, coming out to the ring doing their usual shtick, putting up the unicorn horns in memory of the fallen Captain Seth Rollins. Touching moment. They went against the Usos and Neville teaming together. New Day getting the victory on this one after some interference with the Trumpet. Ran into the match. Caused a distraction, I guess. That's just how I wrote my notes. The match doesn't really matter. It was just the New Day coming out and having fun. That was good to watch.
And it's not a trumpet.
I'm already over Usos. And I think I said that before they even came in. I was like, I have no interest in them coming in. They're doing nothing for me right now.
What the fuck are the Dudley Boys? I'm still into them. Or I was. They took them away, so I can't be anymore.
Yeah, fucking 2 weeks in a row. They haven't been on the show at all.
They wrestled on Superstars.
Oh, right.
So yeah, so basically nowhere. Yeah.
I'm hoping they get a heel turn and wrestle the Usos. So I don't want to see them just out of the picture.
I think they're going to be like New Age Outlaws, and they're just going to silently disappear.
So you really don't like have any kind of, like...
I feel nothing for the Usos right now. In fact, the only thing I thought about them as they were coming out was, what the hell is on their legs?
Actually, I'm pretty much fucking sick of them already.
I
was sick of them before.
Like them. I think that they're a solid tag team.
When Cesaro and Tyson Kidd took the belts off them, I was fucking so happy.
Mm-hmm.
I was so happy. But yeah, I'm not happy to see them back. Like, they're not bad wrestlers at all, but the act is just stale. They need a heel. They either need a heel turn or a new direction.
That's what it is. I don't hate the Usos. Matter of fact, I was a big champion of the Usos when they first were coming around, but they need something fresh. They've been doing this whole thing where they put the face paint on and they do the Siva Tau, and it's just been the same thing for too long.
I still say they missed an opportunity to push Jimmy as a single star.
Absolutely.
He should have turned heel with Naomi.
Yeah, and then you could have brought his brother into it later against him or with him. You could have played around with it, see if there was any chemistry there.
Yep.
Like, when a guy gets injured, that's the perfect time, but instead they just have him sit on the sidelines.
Like they're doing with Cesaro right now.
Yeah, Cesaro could have just been doing nothing. Instead, they're pushing him, and he's more in a better position than he's been in a long-ass time.
Mm-hmm. He has a genuine admiration from the crowd right now, the Cesaro section thing, which I'm still not confident if that's planted or not.
Where Cesaro is right now, if he stayed in that position for the rest of his career, I don't think I'd mind too much. Where he's a prominent part, then I don't have to worry about him getting buried.
New Day wins this, though. I'm not really sure what the New Day's going to do, though, if they lose these belts to the Usos. That's what I worry about.
Oh, then they'll challenge for the belts for, 4 months.
Wyatt family's getting involved sometime.
With the New Day?
You've been saying that for 6 months.
I got a feeling that the New Day might turn face.
Oh, you know what, Tony? They might have a multi-man tag match at WrestleMania.
Maybe not this year if everybody keeps getting fucking injured. Now, I'm starting to think now that maybe they don't drop it to the Usos. Maybe they just turn face and it's the three of them against the three Wyatt family members.
Oh, that might be interesting.
Maybe not like TLC or something like that, but that could happen at WrestleMania.
Man, because you know what? We should have had freaking Shield versus Wyatt's at WrestleMania, and we never fucking got it, so we ain't gonna get New Day versus Wyatt's.
Oh, but you fucking got Kane and New Age Outlaws or some shit versus the Shield. That was good.
Yeah, and the other year was fucking Sheamus, Ryback, and Randy Orton versus the Shield.
Big Show, not Ryback. It's Big Show.
Ryback, yeah, Big Show.
Ryback lost to Mark Henry.
Yeah, fucking Christ, that pay-per-view was so bad. God damn it.
Showcase of the Immortals, guys.
WrestleMania on my birthday. Thanks, WWE. It's amazing I still fucking do this show for you guys.
For them.
Yeah.
Your ratings would be shit if it wasn't for
Well, I'm giving them competition for whatever thing they're doing on the network afterwards. You know, competition makes them better.
Right?
Yeah. they're doing this big thing to celebrate the 25th anniversary of The Undertaker. I don't know if you've been catching some of the stuff. They've been posting pictures. They've been posting all kinds of videos and interviews. Looks like they're doing a Legends Roundtable type thing. You guys interested for all that?
Nope.
No?
I don't really care to watch just reruns all the time of The Undertaker. Like, then the Legends Roundtable's never appealed to me either, so.
Roundtable's got me
interested. I mean, if it was an episode of Keeping Kayfabe, I'd listen, but not this.
Yeah, I like the Roundtable thing. That looks kind of cool, because the people that they were showing, I mean, I'd like to hear from Shawn Michaels. I'd like to hear from Triple H, that kind of a thing. But
it's way better cast than they usually get for those things.
Yeah, see, that's what when they do some of those things and they talk about a lot of the older things, I can't get into it. And if they have people that I grew up watching talking about other people that I grew up watching, then shit, you know, like, I love Undertaker. Undertaker is my number two favorite of all time. So if you do something like that, awesome. But if you have, like, not that I dislike the guy or something like that, but if, like, Greg the Hammer Valentine is on talking about something, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what they do. They'll get, like, Greg the Hammer Valentine and Michael Hayes and Jim Ross, and they'll talk about the days, the Sportatorium.
Yeah, and, you know, well, then they'll get, like, well, we're going to get somebody different this time. It's going to be Gene Okerlund and
DD fucking P.
Pat Patterson.
DDP, Pat Patterson, and, like, I can't even think of, like, some of those old fuckers. Like,
do you ever see
the... say, like, as much as nice, like, a nice guy DDP is, he's fucking, like, I can't tolerate him on those shows.
He just keeps talking.
He wants to shut the fuck up. He's like Drew.
Even when he was on Stone Cold's podcast, I remember you could even hear Stone Cold, like, starting to get pissed off because he just kept talking over him. Do you ever see you go ahead.
I'll also say, I don't want to see Ric Flair on any of them again.
Oh, hell no.
I can't stand Flair unless he's drunk. Well, if he's drunk, then shit, he should have his own goddamn show.
Did you ever see the ones that had Eric Bischoff on them?
The JBL thing?
No. Oh, that was lame, yeah, too.
Yeah, I watched 10 minutes of that thing.
The Legends of Wrestling Roundtables?
I don't know who's on any of them.
There's ones where they put Eric Bischoff there, and he just looks so pissed off the entire time.
So, yeah, like, all right, today we're going to talk about how you lost.
Yeah, that's what they do every time they have them on. It's like, so, Eric, that was a fucking dumb mistake, wasn't it? Tell us how you fucked up there.
Position it like that, too.
We're going to do a whole big discussion today about the territory days, and we're going to start off this discussion by talking about that time that you fucked up WCW.
Hey, so how much of Ted's money did you give to Hulk? All of it? Ah, fucking smart there.
They invite him to, like, best WrestleMania moments ever, and he's like, oh, this would be awesome, I love that, you know, I used to watch WrestleMania even when I was a part of the competition. And they're like, speaking of competition,
you know what was a good WrestleMania? When Hulk Hogan wrestled The Rock. Yeah, Hogan got out of whatever shitty deal he was in before.
Here's the thing, if WCW had won, Eric Bischoff would be doing this like five times as much.
And I'm just gonna say, if WCW had won, I would not be a wrestling fan.
Oh no, I'd be so done.
They're like, greatest crowds in WrestleMania history. There were a lot of butts in seats at WrestleMania 3.
All right. So we had one final segment on Raw. It was Bray Wyatt coming out to do a eulogy for Undertaker and Kane. I honestly kind of fell out what he was talking about. Bray Wyatt kind of went back into that mode where he was just kind of meandering nonsense. He goes back and forth for me.
He had a lamer version of last week's promo.
Yeah. He tried to play with the lights and stuff, but it ended up scaring him this time because he wasn't setting it off. Then the video package plays, and out comes Undertaker and Kane. Which, that's when I started actually liking it. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, what the fuck, Kevin Dunn? You said you'd only do that for me.
Never gets old. The Brothers of Destruction coming out together, the entrance that they do. Most importantly, at the end when they were leaving and they put the arms up for that final shot. I'll always get into that.
I did enjoy it. I got the chills, and it was a good nostalgia feel. And just them walking side by side is a fucking intimidating...
It is, right? I think it's got to be fun for these guys to be working together one last time, too.
Yeah, because I don't think we'll get it again.
No, I sure hope we don't have a fucking match between the two.
Oh, what if Kane fucking turns on him and they do it for Mania?
Oh, my God.
I don't fucking do that. I mean, there could be worse options, but...
In a casket inferno buried alive match.
You guys as disappointed, though, as I am, that it looks like we're getting a handicap match?
I was half expecting them to, like, stop and, like, just surprise us with some other people coming out.
Like Sting in a wheelchair?
Well, if Sting was feeling well, like, yeah, Sting and, like, Brock Lesnar or something.
Bring up Finn.
But the fact that the two of them went out and they just completely destroyed the four Wyatt family members, it's like, well, they don't even need anybody else.
I would have been happier if they got the upper hand and then the numbers game caught up.
Yeah, that's how it should have went down.
And then it's like, all right, we're going to bring backup and you're going to find out who at Survivor Series.
Yep. Or like, it could have been like when the lights went out and the other Wyatt family members came out and it was just like, oh, fuck, Wyatt's got his backup. And then like Kane and Undertaker could have looked down at the ramp or something and been like, yeah, well, we got fucking backup too. And then, you know, I don't know who. Finn Balor's a great choice. If Sting could do it, Sting would be fucking amazing. Like,
well, here's the thing. We have time until Survivor Series and you could do that. If you wanted to wait for that, then you should have had the Wyatt family destroy them. And if you did want to have it be a thing where you wanted to make Undertaker and Kane not look strong enough or whatever to battle those guys, then build up the mysticism angle of it. Like, have them come back, like, thinking they had their powers back full strength, but Bray Wyatt was still able to counteract some of it, and that's what caused them to lose momentum in the battle.
Oh, they could have just done something simple like a fucking low blow. What's bad wrong with that? Or a weapon shot. There's so many ways they could have done this and kept like those two strong.
Or they could have just had Braun Strowman clothesline them and yell nonsense. What the fuck did he even say?
I'm a monster.
Oh, fucking apocalypse of the world. Oh, shit. I'm upside down kicking over this top rope. Oh, fuck. That's essentially what happened.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think it was that, and it was set to the Benny Hill theme.
Yeah, everyone in the chat room's like, what did he say? Can anyone understand what he said?
I think he actually said, I'm the face of destruction. I think that's what he said.
That spot was so awkward, though. It was like they both went in to do a double clothesline, but for some reason Kane used his wrong arm, and then they pushed him over, but he didn't quite go over.
Yeah, well, you got all these big oafy guys. I don't expect this to be pretty. I don't expect anything about this feud or this match to be pretty.
We know you're kind of green, but we figured out a spot for you. We want you to fall over the rope. Can you do that for us? Ah, fuck.
Can we really have a pretty match if Eric Rowan is involved?
Maybe if we had Eric Rowan team up with Prince Pretty, and he can give him like a makeover.
I just imagine Eric Rowan with pink bows in his beard.
Just imagine Eric Rowan doing the entrance of Tyler Breeze. That alone.
I'm just picturing him like trying to like sit up on the ropes, but he's like too clumsy.
Instead of sitting up on the ropes, he just leans on them.
Fucking rope snaps.
How about that, huh?
I am definitely afraid we're getting a handicap match too. And for that matter, will it still even be a Survivor Series match?
No, it's not going to be.
You think it's just going to be a straight 4-on-2 handicap match?
Just a standard tag match, and it's going to be underwhelming as fuck, and our Survivor Series match is going to be leftovers from the tournament.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Orton returns because of him having something to do with the Wyatt family, and maybe they bring up Finn. I don't know what they can do. Ugh, I hope it's not a handicap match. I'm going to be very disappointed if it is.
Handicap, no holds barred match. Or a street fight. Or an Extreme Rules match. Or.
Well, I guess we're going to have to wait and find out. We want to know what all y'all think they might be doing. Still a little bit of time to get your opinions out there, but we're going to start wrapping up some of the final parts here. My favorite commercial tonight. This is an older one that they started replaying again. I was surprised to see it. It was, Tony, you'll like this one. It's for M&M's, where they're saying crispy M&M's are back. And it's the yellow one saying it into a fan. And the red M&M comes up. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, well, you wanted me to tell our fans that crispy M&M's are back. He's like, no, not that fan. And he's like, oh, well, how about that fan? And he points to like a ceiling fan. He's like, no. He's like, what about the fan in the break room?
I did like that that commercial. They had that from like a couple years ago. And each time it's like, that's the fan one. I like that one.
Yeah. I'm glad they kept that in their archive and brought it back. And crispy M&Ms are fucking amazing.
I'm not a big fan of them, but I am a fan of an even better M&Ms commercial that we're going to be seeing soon. That's the Christmas one.
Oh, yes.
That one's classic.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see Christmas commercials. All the really Coca-Cola has some good Christmas commercials.
Santa Claus is coming.
He ain't coming anymore.
The Hershey's Kiss, where it's like the bells.
That one's like the best commercial.
And it's like fucking 30 years old.
I actually read something about that. I don't remember the numbers offhand, but it was something like all it's cost them over the past bunch of years, other than the like space on TV, was like $800. Because they just retouched it up a little bit, and that was it. So it's like that ad has saved them like millions of dollars, and it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's timeless. Except for, you know, when you can't play Christmas music anymore because everybody gets offended.
Yeah.
All right. So we are going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most god-awful, must-avoid, embarrassing part of the show was. It is the good, the bad, and the ugly. We invite you out there to drop your good, bad, and ugly in the chat room, and we'll read those in a little bit. In the meantime, let's ask the hosts here. Tony, what's your GBU?
My good, if it's not going to go to that Triple H line, which I'm very tempted to give it to that, it would have to go to the New Day again. Just every freaking time. And in particular, I love the whole...
And then finally Big E breaking out, this is an outrage!
And fucking Kofi's quick little line, and Harry Potter sucks. I loved that. The bad, I'm going to have to go to that PTO on the table. Why do you do moves on a table where it has no effect that it's on a table? Never understood that. They're like, no, not on the table! It hurts more?
No, huh? It's more degrading and inconvenient to the announcers.
Bullshit. And my ugly, that's either going to go to Coulter on the mic or that fucking Natalya Naomi match. And I'm leaning more towards the Divas on that, but goddamn, Zeb Coulter needs to amp himself back up. He used to be awesome. Now he's the total opposite.
Wayo, you're good, bad, and ugly.
Oh my good. I was tempted to give it to Cesaro versus Sheamus. It was a solid match tonight, but I've got to give it to Triple H. It was on point, and... honestly, he had the only non-wrestling segment that was worth a damn tonight. Roman Reigns vs. Big Show is my bad. Why are we seeing this again? Why is the Big Show even in WWE right now? Fucking irrelevant. And the ugly is the second Divas match with the one with Natalya. I walked out, and I'm glad I did. It sounded fucking horrendous.
All right, well, we got one in the chat room here. Silent Wind of Doom saying the good. Paige's shirt. The bad, after Cena, Brock, and Dean couldn't take it from Rollins, Vacant gets the title, is getting cheated out of it again. Can you guys just keep these simple, please? Ugly, after Cole said Taker and Kane has one task left, the camera cut to Bray's butt. I didn't notice that one. He said after Cole says Taker and Kane has one task left, the camera cuts to Bray's butt.
They've got one more thing they have to do. Bray Wyatt's ass.
All right. Well, thanks for that one. All right. My good, bad, and ugly. My good, I absolutely have to give to Triple H's opening promo tonight. On point, still showing why he is the king of kings. My bad, I am going to give to the Naomi and Natalya match. It was just... a lot of botches, not very good. But my ugly absolutely has to go to that Zeb Coulter and Alberto Del Rio nonsense. I just don't get it. I said it before and I'll say it again. I just don't get it. Maybe one day this will make sense.
It does not make sense.
It just does not. It literally, it's on that level. My head's going to explode soon if I keep trying to think about it.
Like the silly monkey.
All right, fellas. Let's just tell the world about a few things we got going on in our world, and we're going to wrap things up here. Tony, what's good in the world of Tony?
As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, check out SmarkOutMoment.com for all sorts of wrestling stuff. We got Smack Talk coming up later on this week, which originally was going to be a call of spot on the Survivor Series teams, but look at this. We don't have teams. So who the fuck knows what this episode's going to be this week.
Buff Bagwell.
Maybe I might bump up the mailbag that I was going to do in 2 weeks and do that this week because we got a couple of questions there. I don't know. But if you have any suggestions, leave them somewhere on Smart Out Moment, either the Facebook page or the sidebar chat or you know, send me an email. I don't know, whatever the case may be. Check out fanboysanonymous.com. I've been doing a lot of stuff for the new James Bond film Spectre, and I got some more ideas that I've been cooking up when it comes to that. And pretty soon we're going to be starting to go into Star Wars month. So if you're interested in either of those movies, definitely go follow the podcast and stuff with that. And keep your eyes peeled out for another All Talk show. You never know when that'll pop up.
All right, Wago.
All right, happening? Follow me
What's
on
going
Twitter.
On?
Follow me on the Twitter at Stephen Wago. That's the same for Snapchat, Facebook, yada yada.
Snapchat,
yada.
Wow.
Search Stephen Wago, you'll find me.
Indeed. All right, folks, if you enjoyed this edition of the Raw Post Show, join us every single week live after Raw goes off the air by tuning your browsers to megapowersradio.com for the most interactive post-Raw experience available. You can also support us by donating to us for a monthly amount on Patreon by searching for Mega Powers Radio on there, and by listening to us every single Monday night, subscribing to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, and by finding links to all those on SmartCountMoment.com. Find me on Twitter at MRPADEN. That's Mr. Payton. For everyone here, for Tony Mango, for Stephen Huego. Again, I'm Mike Payton, and we'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.